All right, welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk Church. Welcome to those of you who are in this room with me here at our Brader Way site, and those of you who are watching at one of the other venues at Brader Way in the gallery or Traditions, and those of you who are watching at Blackhawk Fitchburg, and a special kind of shout out to those of you who are at Blackhawk downtown, as you guys are experiencing the first Sunday there where you've expanded now to three services. It's always been two services. This is a Blackhawk downtown, and so many people going down there now. We've expanded to three, so way to go, you guys. So welcome to everybody. Most of you know that have been coming to Blackhawk for some time that ministry really wasn't kind of my first pursuit when I got out of high school. Went to undergraduate school, Indiana State in Terre Haute, Indiana. I majored in biology. My love was like biology. I minored in chemistry. I'm kind of like a wildlife biologist at heart, and I would love to be in biology. Maybe that'll be my next career. I'm not sure. But at any rate, when I go outside, I just love being outside, and you guys hear me talk about that kind of stuff from time to time. So it's not unusual for me at home to find myself like on a biology website or watching some kind of a show. If you haven't seen Blue Planet on the BBC, I mean, that's just it's an awesome thing. But I was looking at a website the other day, and I saw some pictures of nature, and I thought I would share them with you because of something that's going on in these pictures. Take a look at this tree. Look at that tree. You see anything there that's unusual on that tree there? So here's another picture of that tree. See that? There's an owl, like, right in the middle of that tree. Take a look at this beach right here. Look at this beach. Look really carefully. You see the spider? There he is, right there. Even when I highlight it, you don't see it very well. And then take a look at these leaves right here. Look right in the center of that. See that? That's a katydid right there in the center. So I see things like this on a website, and I'm like, oh, awesome, awesome, sunshine, get in here, look at this, that kind of thing. So I love that kind of stuff. And the reason you're thinking, like, what are you doing, right? Well, this is a church. Why are we looking at these pictures? Here's the reason we're looking at these pictures, because those animals have developed a way, a very interesting feature, in which they can blend into their environment and use camouflage to kind of protect them. And it reminds me of what I'm going to talk about today in our message, because we have something inside our hearts that is like, it's like camouflaged. It's very difficult to see in our own souls, and it causes us actually to blend in with our secular environment. It's called greed. Greed is good at hiding. It's what greed does best. It's almost impossible to see in ourselves, but it's easy to see in others. That's my main idea, basically. Greed is good at hiding. It's what it does best. And because of that, this message doesn't really fit with the rest of the series. So this series is called The Struggle is Real. And we wanted to talk about things that people struggle with. And so here's a kind of our list. We could talk about like lots of things, but this is what we've done in this series. We talk about anxiety, grief, depression, lust, and work. What we're trying to do in this series is build a loving community by doing these things. We're trying to build a community where you're not alone. You can talk about these things that you struggle with. We don't hide our struggles at church. A loving community that follows Christ is like, wow, okay, that's what you struggle. I struggle with something else. Or we can share these things because we believe that the gospel meets us in a loving community as we admit to our struggles. And that's why this message doesn't fit with the others. Because it's very, very common for someone to come up to me and say, Pastor Chris, can I talk to you for a second? I'm struggling with something. And maybe then they say, I struggle with anxiety. Pastor Chris, can I talk to you for a second? I struggle with work. I've got issues at work, people that are hard to work. Can I talk to you about that? Pastor Chris, can I talk to you about this whole idea of depression, I feel like it's a safe place. Can I talk to you about that? And I'm thinking, yes, absolutely. People come up to me and admit all kinds of things. But I have never had in 34 years of pastoral ministry, 10 years in Louisiana, 24 years here in Wisconsin, in two completely different kinds of communities, a wide diversity of different kinds of people, in all of my years of ministry, I've never had anybody come up to me and say, Pastor Chris, can I talk to you for a second? I struggle with greed. My love for money is almost out of control. It's causing me to fail in my relationships at home, and I think it's hurting my relationship with God. Can I talk to you about greed? Never happens. It never happens. So why is that? Well, maybe there's no one in any of the churches that I've pastored that struggles with greed at all. It's out there. Absolutely, we'd all admit that our culture is just awash in materialism, and we're just preoccupied with consuming things in our culture. But here, no, at Blackhawk, no one ever struggles with that. Or it might be that greed is a different kind of thing, and it's good at hiding. We got it, but we don't see it. So greed's a different kind of sin. It's not like like anger. All right, let's see. You leave the worship service, like wherever you are, whatever venue. And you're driving on the Beltline, and somebody like cuts you off, or they don't let you get on the Beltline, and you've got like friends in the car, and somebody cuts you off, and you just like all of a sudden you just blow up. It's like full on road rage, and you're like, maybe you start cussing at that person right out of church. You start cussing at this person. You see something, and somebody in your car, maybe like your friend or spouse, that says, "Wow, you need to like calm down a little bit." Wow, I think you might have a problem with anger. See, we could be neck deep in greed, having just accumulated all kinds of things in our life. We got so many things, we don't even know where to store them. And somebody could come up and say, I think you're a greedy person. Whoa. How dare you say that to me? I can't believe you said that. I thought you were my friend. And then we run off some justifications. Well, what about your own life? Well, look at that person over there with that house. Look at that. Greed's, it hides. It's good at hiding. It's what it does best. It's easy to see in others, but it's almost impossible to see in ourselves. It hides. But it doesn't hide from Jesus. He could see it as clear as day. That's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome to Blackhawk Church. Awesome. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. As we see a passage where Jesus calls it out, tells it like it is. Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." All right, let's stop just for a second. First of all, upon first reading, you kind of feel sorry for this guy who asked Jesus a question. I mean, like the guy comes up and says something to Jesus, and all of a sudden he's like called out in front of like, a bunch of people. Like, wow, you'd think to yourself, that's the first time I'm going to like ask him a question. But upon a second reading, you realize that guy's not actually asking a question. Did you see that in the text? Look back at that verse again. He says, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide thee. He's telling Jesus what to do with regards to a financial situation that he had. Here, stop for a second. Have you ever done that? Have you ever like told God, even though God like knows everything, you're like telling him what to do with respect to a financial situation that you're... I'm just asking, Now, who's the crowd? Do you see that in the past? Who's the crowd? Well, that causes your eyes to scan before that and go back to the beginning of the chapter and look at verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of, what does it say there? Many thousands, wow, had gathered, and so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So Jesus is speaking to so many people, they're literally like on top of each other, thousands and thousands of people. So what's he talking about? Well, if you read the rest of chapter 12, then he's giving them instructions now about what they are to do when he like leaves the scene and what to expect. He's kind of warning his disciples. Scan your eyes down to verse 11. You see, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Let me ask you a question. What does that have to do with money and inheritance? The answer is absolutely nothing. It has like nothing to do with that. But there's a guy in the crowd who, even though the preacher is talking about something different, he's thinking about money problems. I don't know, does that sound familiar to anybody? And he comes to Jesus with what he thinks is, hey, I got a justice issue here. My brother, you know, he's not being fair here. And Jesus basically, because he can see clearly, he said, you don't have a justice problem. You got a greed issue. So he calls it out. Sometimes we feel like we want to be in love with Jesus. We picture Jesus as being someone that we would just love if we could be around him. You read the New Testament, sometimes the Jesus you read about, you go, I don't know if I'd actually like to be around him or not. That's the Jesus of the Bible. He just calls this guy out. So he says to the crowd, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. Like, obviously, this guy thinks it does. So then Jesus decides to spin a story. Tell a tale that he just makes up out of thin air about a rich man who was preoccupied with the abundance of his possessions. So here's the parable. He told them this parable, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. That's the parable he spun about this rich man in front of many thousands of people, because he could see clearly in one person. Let's make some observations from this passage. First of all, let's all agree that the parable is about greed and not wealth. You get that from verse 15. Jesus is obviously stating a principle here in verse 15. He says it's about watch out for greed, and then he spins a parable about that. It's not about wealth. There's a difference between greed and wealth. Wealth is a non-moral thing. It's a tool. It's a non-moral thing. It's just a thing. It's the moral mismanagement of wealth. That's greed. That's what he's against. It's not wealth. You read the Bible, you see God blessing all kinds of people with all kinds of wealth. There's a lot of godly people that are extremely, extremely wealthy. Abraham is like one of them. I mean, he's like very wealthy. King David, obviously. Solomon, where they spin stories about how wealthy Solomon is, and his splendor is like amazing. In fact, when the people came out of Egypt, God said to them, if you're obedient to me, I'll bless you with the ability to produce wealth. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. But remember the Lord, your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. God wouldn't give us the ability to produce anything that was evil. Wealth is not evil. It's the moral mismanagement of it. That's the problem. It's the love of money. Paul tells us that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith, pierced themselves with many griefs. Paul goes on in that same chapter and says basically that this is how we should use our wealth. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Paul is telling this young pastor, Timothy, command your people to be rich. So just imagine, that's what I'm telling you. Be rich in good deeds, be generous, willing to share. That's what counts. It's what you do with the wealth. Wealth's not the problem. It's the moral mismanagement. That's the problem. That's what the parable is all about. Another observation about the parable, do you notice the connection with selfishness? Greed is a function of selfishness. It's all about me. It's about myself. Did you see that? As I read the parable, I tried to highlight that. Look back again. Notice all these first persons. I, my. The story that Jesus makes up, it's just us. He's just making it up. It's all about a guy who has a conversation with himself. He didn't have a conversation with anybody in the community. There's no other people. It's just him. And he's thinking himself really wise to have this conversation with himself. Greed is a function of selfishness. It's not about interacting with community. It's about me. It's about me. Greed is also about an abundance of things. That's very clear. You can see that verse 15. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then he spins the story about greed. Greed is about counting things. Greed is about accumulating things. For me, greed is new is better than old. You know, I've got some, but I need new because that's not working like. Nothing wrong with it, but I need new now. That's what greed is about. How you guys doing? Do you feel like I'm yelling at you? I don't mean to be yelling at you. It's real quiet in here. I don't know, maybe it's not quiet in the other venues, but it's quiet in here. I'll tell you what, let me pick on myself. Let's just do a little illustration. Hang in there. I'll be right back. How you like my bag? Yep. Pitchers and catchers report in 22 days. I'm sure y'all knew that. This could be the year again, actually. All right. Well, this just happened this week. So I got a favorite store. One of my favorite stores is Home Depot. When I go into Home Depot, it's like lust, lust, lust. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. So I went into Home Depot, and this is my drill. This is my drill. This drill, I don't know how old this drill is. This drill is like, I don't know, 15, 50, 50,000 years old, this drill is probably. And I got a cord with my drill, and then when I have to use it, like yesterday, when my wife wanted me to put something up, I had to get this extension cord out like this. I love working with extension cords, no problem. So, you know, they never get in your way or anything like that, no problem, okay? So I was walking through Home Depot, and I'm walking through this, like, right in the center of the store. Why is that? Right in the center of the store, I hear this voice. It's a very audible voice. And the voice basically says to me, "You need a cordless drill." It's like audible. Walk down that aisle. That's where the cordless drills are. Okay, here's like a cordless drill, okay? My son has a cordless drill. My son-in-law has a cordless drill. All of my best friends have a cordless drill. I don't know anyone who has a drill with a cord on it anymore. I don't know. Not everybody I know has a cordless drill. If I had a cordless drill, oh my gosh. No more dangling those things around. Look at this right here, man. I could just like walk around. I could go anywhere, man. I could get into tight spots, no problem. Just pull this out like that, no problem. Yeah, this is old and ugly. I was thinking to myself, I was putting this illustration together, the only time I actually use a drill is when we have gone to some store and my wife has decided that she wants to buy something to put up that we probably don't actually need. And then I have to get the drill out. So it's really my wife's greed that is really the problem. If I could just take care of her greed, then this one, I wouldn't even need it at all. Greed is about, I need that. I got to have that. There's nothing wrong with this drill, you guys. Nothing wrong with it. But greed says something else. Greed is about more. It's about counting things. It's about having closets filled with, drawers filled with, all kinds of things. That's greed. It's about abundance of stuff. That's what greed is about. Last observation from the parable. Jesus talks about the fact that we should be rich towards God. You see that at the end. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but's not rich towards God. So the guy in the story, you know, he has all this surplus of grain. So he builds more and more barns, puts that stuff in there. And he says, "Awesome. Now, man, I got all this stuff for myself. Now to eat, drink, and be merry, you know, there you go." He thinks himself wise, but God thinks he's a what? A fool. Because you didn't like that stuff for yourself, just for yourself, right? Well, today's the day you're going to die. You're a fool. Who's going to get all that stuff? Well, in the parable, I mean, he doesn't know anybody. It's just like it's a rot. But if we're rich towards God, you know, like generous stuff, greed is opposed to that. So if we're going to make up a definition of greed, from Jesus' perspective, it might be something like this. Being selfish with our possessions and not being rich towards God. That's greed. Well, what does it mean to be rich towards God? What exactly? That's like a church world phrase. What does that mean to be rich toward? Well, it probably means that we don't worry about our stuff, that we are generous, willing to share, and that we have treasure, but it ain't here. It's someplace else. You say, "Well, Pastor Chris, that's interesting. Where'd you get that? I don't see that in the passage." Well, just keep reading. Because in verse 22, Jesus basically says to his disciples, so there's a crowd there, but he's primarily talking to his disciples. He turns down and talks to his disciples because of what they just heard, and then he uses the word therefore. Therefore, this is how you apply what I just said. I tell you to not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They did not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barns, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after these things. And your father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail. Where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do you apply all this teaching? What would be the next step for us if we are just thinking, maybe, possibly, there's this thing living in me that I just can't even see? And somebody asks me about my struggles. I list all kinds of things, but I don't list this at all. What would be a next step like for us, those of us who think this might be a struggle? Well, at Black Hawk, there's all kinds of people who have all kinds of different issues financially, a wide range of people at Black Hawk Church. We have people at Black Hawk Church that can't afford either one of these drills. We have people at Black Hawk that can afford a drill like this as long as they put it on credit. And then we have people at Black Hawk that buy 7 or 8 of these drills, not even miss the money. So how would a message like this apply to every single one of us? How does it apply? Well, that's a good question. One way that we can see that this apply is that we probably need to stop worrying. You stop worrying by you put a plan together. What do you have a plan? We don't put a plan together in the remaining moments of the 35-minute message. I mean, you got a plan? Put a plan together. And stop worrying about it, because worry is just no fun. It's a killer. At Black Hawk Church, we have a class that talks about finances and the Lord's stuff. It's called Financial Peace University. It's taught on video by Dave Ramsey. I cannot recommend this class enough. My wife and I have talked to the leaders, taken it. The leaders of this church have taken it. It is a fantastic class. I highly recommend it. It's not for people like who have money problems. It's for all of us, you guys. It's for everyone, because it helps us think about our finances and how we can put together a plan. For those of us, some of us who are upside down in terms financially, and we're just debts like crazy, last year's class alone, if they combined all their total debt that they paid off, non-mortgage debt, they paid off $120,000 of debt just from the result of that class. So I completely recommend it. Put a plan together. A second thing that we could possibly do is that we could live differently than the rest of the world. We wouldn't blend into our environment, but that we would actually be different from our environment. The way in which our world functions is that if you receive money, there's 3 things to do with that money. And the world thinks of it in these terms. Spend. Spend. And then if you have any money left over, then might save. And then, you know, I guess I should give. I guess give a little bit. It's like tip money. Thanks, God. You know, oh, there you go. It's like an afterthought kind of thing. Or if you give it all. Mostly to spend. And maybe you save a little bit. That's the way the world functions. Christ followers should function completely different than that. This is the way we should function. We should like give, be rich in good deeds, be generous, willing to share, give, then save and spend. Give, though, should be the very first thing that occurs to a follower of Yahweh. You know, the wisdom literature, Proverbs 3, we see this passage. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. You receive an income, the very first thing, you honor the Lord with that. You give money. You give money away. How you guys doing with that? It might be, let me share an illustration. This might be difficult, but let me share this. It's my most expensive illustration. I have 10 $10 bills right here. 10 $10 bills right here. 10 $10 bills right here. 10. Now, what I'm saying is this. When you receive an income, okay, it's like $100, then the very first thing, if you're a Christ follower, is that you give money away. You give. For very first thing. Don't even think about it. Just give. It's a lifestyle issue. Just give. So here's 10. Give that. And then save. So here's 10. I'm going to save 10. Put that away. And then I got 8 left. And it's almost seems selfish, doesn't it? Like, I should live on that 8. How you guys doing? That was too hard? Here, let's do it again. Okay, I'll go slower this time. Got 10 tens, okay? 10 tens. Watch this. Okay, this is like what I receive, okay? So then the very first thing, give, and then save. And then this, spin this. How you doing with that? It's called 10-10-80. Very simple. If you're just new to the world of finances and you're just putting your life together and new job, you shift to this principle, it will change your life. When you get my age or older, you have no problem with retirement or whatever the government decides to do. You're fine. And the amount of difference you will make in the world for eternity will be enormous. There's something about money that binds us to time and blinds us to eternity. You give first. Well, very different from the way the world functions. I put together a couple years ago a booklet on generosity. And it's available at all sites and venues. I've got a lot to say about that. You can pick that up if you want. Here's the main idea of what I'm trying to say. Greed hides. It's what it does the very best. It's great at hiding. It's hard, almost impossible to see in ourselves. But it's very easy to see in others. What I've found in my life is... take a look at this spider again. The more and more that I actually am in the Word of God, the more I actually pray about finances, and the more I actually pray about poverty and needs, something happens to me. It's that thing that I can't hardly see. It becomes like clear as day. No problem. Against the backdrop of our culture, I can't even see the thing. But against the backdrop of the Word of God, it's clear as day. I'm the lead pastor of this church. I got a couple of theological degrees. I study the Bible all the time. And I struggle with greed. I struggle with it. You put together a struggle series, top one for me. I struggle. Maybe I'm not alone. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you to work in our lives, in our hearts. A message like this can hit some of us. We weren't even thinking about this. For some of us, this thing is so camouflaged, and it's so hidden that even the mention of it makes us angry, and we blend in. If someone was to look at the way we spend money, it's no different than people who say they're not following Christ. It's just exactly the same. Would your Spirit work in our hearts in such a way that He would show us what we need to see so that we might become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? We pray, Father, that we would not think ourselves wise when we're actually fools. We pray this in Christ's name, for the sake of His reputation, all God's people said.